Are you tired of poor dice play at the gaming table? Do you feel bad letting your friends down with weak rolls? Does your gaming life always feel like a critical miss? Your RPG experience doesn't have to be this way. Take the first step on the road to recovery at FanRollDice.com. At FanRollDice.com, you will find all the gaming accessories you need. Unique, well-crafted dice and accessories are there to elevate your gaming needs. The Rancor's Brothel is here to help. Use promo code RBP10 at checkout to receive 10% off any order. Go from zero to hero in your gaming group at FanRollDice.com. And save yourself 10% using code RBP10. A better gaming experience awaits you. Don't delay. Order today. Warning. This game's setting revolves around an active Middle East combat zone and contains references to extreme violence, graphic content, and other mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? The craziest body that could ever be. So turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. My atonement has come. My atonement has come. That ain't the way to have fun.
Iconoclasts, a campaign of horrors modern and ancient.
Open up the window, let some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking from the smell of stale perfume and the cigarette you're smoking. Don't scare me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come.
I haven't had that much to drink yet. We'll start right there, because why wouldn't we? Seems to be going well, as well as any other time. I'm also going to try and figure out a way to make Schroeder say suck before the end of this recording for you, Jeff. I don't know how yet.
Suck.
Oh, wow.
Good sport.
But see, you still just dub it in with your own shitty audio later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I can't wait to get home to suck something stiff at 4 a.m.
Well, he didn't save the other audio, so
I never stopped recording.
Oh, nice.
The look of sheer terror. Schroeder's like, he checked. He went back and listened. Nah, I just looked at the WAV files. Jeff wanted it. I gave it to him. He has to deal with the audio for the next 3 hours. So anyway, you guys were having a great discussion, and then I went, oh shit, we never started recording. So please continue.
What are we talking about?
It is probably probably afternoon on April 6th.
And you just got done with your conversation with the CIA contact.
Ish, yeah.
Which did not go well. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Horribly unwell.
They have requirements of us that are pretty hefty.
Yeah.
So you were talking about...
And that was to get satellite coverage, correct?
That is, well, it wasn't defined, but to get resource access
okay.
in the region. Yeah.
They're just trying to jog my own memory on that.
So we were talking about the assault on Rassam's that we're thinking about
right.
planning.
And Jeff, you made a really good point that we, whatever we do, we need to have the ability to take things off of the property, to bring evidence back to us. I thought that was a really, really good point.
Yeah, because once we take the place, we don't know how long we're going to be able to hold it. We need to have transportation big enough to haul shit out of there. Haul the people we take and have enough people to in there to help us load this shit out.
Box truck.
And I don't know who's playing a military character, but surely, you know, there are plenty of military characters on the board. Everybody should take one. Spencer definitely needs to take, I think it's Landry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That seems right.
Is it Landry?
I got Mary.
I think these are the two I've been
I've
playing.
Spent quite a bit of time with Oliver Bean.
You had him too.
Yep. I had Kasim and Landry.
I think I was making drive checks with and navigation checks with Captain Daniel Pashkev.
Captain Dan.
Yeah. Captain Dan.
But yeah. any of the military characters would know convincing, you know, making a bureaucracy to get a strike on the house. Middling difficulty, you could probably hand wave that. Getting a strike and then to retrieve artifacts. might be a little bit of a harder sell. You might need to come up with
that are not in pieces.
Right. It belongs in a museum is not necessarily, you know, the military's forefront concern when, you know, making advancements on Mosul.
So the real question with coming together with this plan is, are we calling for a strike and then mid-strike the people that we're sending with the strike team tell them the real reason why we're here is to get these items instead of making bureaucracy rolls for getting the strike team to pull out artifacts?
I don't know. I don't... As a part of the program, I don't think that we would tell them this is weird shit that we're trying to get out of here.
Yeah. Right.
But I think money could buy silence.
I mean, they're going to be
that's an idea.
They're going to be used to intel extraction. That's going to be common business for them. So, I mean, that's how we can sell it, just intel extraction.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to say anything else other than that.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, most of what we're going to be taking is in a language that hardly anybody understands. We don't have to worry about them, like, getting into it for the most part, unless we find Rassam's journals, his notes on what he's been studying. That I don't know.
Don't need to worry about OPSEC when it's in Akkadian.
But one of the things I was curious about is who is actually holding the site right now? Who are we about to go in and shoot the shit out of?
Which is part of why we were talking to the Kurds.
Exactly. I was kind of trying to make a list of things that, in addition to trying to get a strike force together, a list of things or a list of intel that Landry could get from the Kurds. So far I have who is holding the site and do you have someone on the site?
First overarching question, not just site related. Who does the Peshmerga have embedded and where? Like, do we have people at the University of Mosul also? Like, we need essentially to try and extract a list of potential contacts within the Kurds and Peshmerga in the theater, not just like,
agreed.
Like, do we have anybody who's working at the hospital? Like, let's get as many contact points and
I think that was part of unlocking the resources for the region with the CIA.
Well, that was for the CIA's resources, not necessarily. Yep. Yeah, that was part of it.
Because I think CIA will have a good, like, 10,000 foot, you know, literally view, and the Peshmerga will have much better personnel.
We're going to have boots on the ground, anecdotal shit.
I think you need both.
I don't disagree.
Have we considered trying to bribe them off?
Literally, I was thinking the same thing.
Bribe the people off Rassam's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thought for sure. would the Kurds be able to put together a list of high priority targets for us as well?
Ooh, that's good.
In the region? I mean, depending on how this conversation goes.
I think we had that list, though. I think
we have a general idea. I would assume that the general list of people, depending on the surveillance network that the Kurds have, we might have better idea where these
they might know the easiest ones to pick off.
The easiest ones to pick off and where they potentially are.
Yeah. Get us in good graces, and then
since if I remember correctly, the Kurds like had their lack of.
So who was talking to the Kurds? Somebody spent the night.
Yes,
yeah, you, it's Landry.
Landry.
So we need to know how the fireside session went.
Yep.
Yeah.
Game mechanics question.
Sure.
When do we increase our skills?
Ooh. Fair point. look up the errata, but I would assume every session. I think every session is probably fair.
So I think the errata says add 1d4 points per experience check.
Okay. That's for everything that we failed on, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So should we go through and do that real quick?
Yeah, you can if you've got some.
Yep.
Just make sure to erase it so then you don't come back and say, hey, we're doing all these again, right?
Yep. So we add that much percent to...
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing I remember is Captain Daniel. Doesn't look like I've marked them.
I failed to drive.
But I know that I know Daniel failed to drive as well. Because we flip-flopped. Because one car failed to drive, the other one
failed to navigate.
And then we flipped it on the way back.
Yeah. Hastings failed Akkadian and is going up 3.
Yay! Boxes.
That's sweet. I still like that mechanic. I really enjoy that.
Staff Sergeant Jamie Warner failed navigate. And we'll go up 2.
Yep.
I actually don't know if I've made a roll yet in this entire game, which tells you a lot about the game. What's that?
You rolled something last session. Maybe you rolled on dice.
I can't imagine you didn't make one of the history or the occult rolls.
True.
It was for the occult. Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to fail it.
Yeah.
If he didn't fail it,
right,
he wouldn't take it.
Correct.
I vote for you succeeded.
I vote that you failed.
Leveled up. What do you want to do?
Continue conversating.
I want to find out if there's anything that Hastings needs to be researching. If not, I want her training.
Okay.
I know that she's going to be one of the ones who will go with the strike team, and I want her to increase her firearms.
Hmm. Okay. I like it.
Okay.
That's an option.
You said that there was could train.
Yeah, no, it's going to take time. You're not going to learn how to operate firearms in a single 6-hour course.
I don't know how long.
Let's identify who we need to negotiate and talk with the Kurds, because that's our primary objective right now.
I think it's already begun.
Yeah.
Can we check in with Landry and see?
If I remember correctly, Landry didn't even go.
He didn't.
On the trip.
He didn't.
This has been a days long.
So he's got time in reserve for that. So, yeah.
So this is almost like a preparedness role for Landry to know what to talk to the Kurds about while we go try and get eyes on the location to figure out what was happening last session. So is there anything that we've not discussed that we want to try and automatically talk with the Kurds about?
I mean, all of our other intel is coming from Mosul, which we are locked out of right now.
Yeah.
Or academia from various locations.
The other thing that we were wanting to know, well, there was a couple things in Mosul that we were wanting to know about. We wanted to know who targeted Rassam, the guy who set up the propaganda team to go in there. And we had his name, and I don't have it in front of me.
It's in the pre-session. Which is not in Discord. It's in what he sent us directly.
Yeah.
But
somebody had to have a reason to send them into Rassam's. And contacts within
we send each other too much random
sound
shit.
Like somebody who could find out about that guy.
Did you send those to us in direct messages in Discord, I believe?
I don't remember. I think so.
I couldn't remember if it was direct messages or if it was Facebook messages. I assume direct messages.
So, Jeff, I will allow...
Yep, there we go.
The training that is suggested here is not specifically firearms-based. It's very specific in terms of certain skills.
Oh, okay.
That being said, I would allow it based on the rules. I kind of like what the rules are. Just know that it's not like it suggests that training takes a week.
Okay.
And that it's not going to be massive. Like, essentially, you're going to leverage for something about the same as what you do in terms of leveling up your skills. It's not going to be massive.
No, I didn't figure it would be. An extra 4% may be the difference between...
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
That's definitely an option. But I just want to let you know, it's not like you're going to get 20% after working for 2 days. So
right.
Hastings would need to do this from, say April 7th through April 14th, which means she's out of commission most of the day.
Which is why I want to make sure that there's not something else she needs to be working on.
That's like I said, this game's going to be long term, so we may skip days at a time.
Yeah.
The two people who we had our briefing with as a part of the propaganda team were Ali bin Hamza, who was from the online magazine Dabiq, and Dayoud El Said from Al Hizba.
That's the name.
Al Hizba is the religious police.
Correct.
He's the one who set up the whole thing.
Correct.
And the other thing in Mosul that we were going to look for was the people who were taken to the hospital after the attack, the ones who survived.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get...
Oh, I was thinking about this. I was listening to the Dresden Files the other day. And
good choice.
There was a talk about the recruitment or die speech. What if that's what happened to the guys who disappeared?
They were recruited?
Yeah, what if they were given the choice, sign up or die, and they went with it with whatever this is. I don't know if that's a thing, but that struck me as a possibility.
It's fascinating. I like it.
What's the state of Baghdad right now?
Baghdad is probably relatively stable. I mean, what limited geography I know, you're quite far away from Baghdad. I mean, you're still having probably demonstrations. There's still, shit going on. It's still a war-torn country. But if I remember my geography correctly, Baghdad is in the south of the country, is it not? Like,
I think so.
And Mosul is in the north.
But that is a much shorter hop than Germany or...
Sure. No, 100%.
Or the UK.
Going to the University of Baghdad.
Yeah, he was a patron there, Assam was.
Or is it the Museum of Baghdad?
Because Baghdad is also where you could find winds unknown to Adad. But that's the thing, is if you're going to have Hastings train for 7 days, then she can't go to Baghdad.
Yeah, it's a 5-hour drive.
It's closer than Plymouth.
Yeah.
Iraq is not terribly big.
Doable for a day trip. So, I mean, that's an option that might be open to us. That might be something we can get to.
Yeah.
You kind of need a whiteboard and prioritize what you want
to
do.
Back to the discussions about the recruit or die thing. I remember us talking about it, but did we actually draw any conclusions about male, female? There was...
It was mentioned that...
The males were missing, right?
Yeah, the males were the ones that were missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And... I can't remember. Did we determine or did we know those who survived that were taken to the hospital? Were they male or female? Did we know that or do we not know that?
We don't know that, but I think it was from a patrol, so I'm 99% sure that it's male.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. As far as I know, you haven't heard of an attack on women, but I think you would only know that from the fact that you only know of a military target being attacked.
Well, no, because there were families that were attacked.
That is true. I just meant from what he found out most recently.
Yes.
So you go back to your intel you got prior, there are rumors of attack of families and so on and so forth. That's the map you have in Discord.
Right.
Also, I went back and listened to the interview with Sloan, the Delta Green agent that was brought in.
The old cowboy.
The old cowboy. He mentioned that it doesn't like sunlight and possibly not moonlight. Can we look at the timetable of these attacks and figure out does it line up with a phase of the moon?
Well, let's review the related incidents. I mean, I think that would be a good idea because that might open some more doors here. So we have the 24th of March. 3 ISIL fighters at checkpoint in Al-Bath neighborhood of Mosul were found dead and skinned.
Time of day?
That was at 1:34.
A.M. or
P.M.? A.M.
Okay.
At 9:46 on the 24th, the incident at Rassam's home was reported to ISIL counterintelligence by the religious police. Also on the 24th of March, skin bodies. This was at 8 p.m. 2 ISIL fighters on night patrol were found in the streets in Mosul. Close to midnight, an ISIL night patrol raised an alarm upon finding an ISIL fighter skinned in the same district. 25th of March, then, or at 1:48 a.m., ISIL fighter was found skinned in a different district, so we definitely have movement. 6:41 a.m., 25th of March, ISIL fighter was found alive but catatonic in yet a different district. 8 a.m., 25th of March, citywide patrols after curfew were doubled. No ISIL fighters were allowed to move about after curfew in groups fewer than 4. 8:32 a.m., 7 members of the Ramal family were found flayed alive in their house.
What day?
25th of March. This is still the day after. Day after the incident.
So how many things were marked on the 24th?
Incident-wise, 1, 2, 3 other than Rassam's place.
Okay. So the only thing marked on the map on the 24th is what seems to potentially be Rassam's place. Wait, what happened on the 23rd?
I don't have any.
23rd was the day of our thing.
I think it happened on the 23rd and they didn't actually find out about it until the 24th. I think that's what.
So if you look here on the map, the only mark on the 23rd is down and out of the city, which is Rassam's place. On the 24th, if we zoom in, the only thing marked on the map is on the bottom of the map, which is still inside the city of Mosul. But there's multiple things reported, correct?
There is, but they all happened in the same location.
Okay.
The movement didn't happen until the next day.
Okay.
I say that, but that night and the following morning.
Okay.
So they kind of merge. But yeah, then the different districts start popping up.
Right.
So that is correct because everything that was reported was from the same location.
Gotcha.
So this family,
and they were found in their home.
So yeah, 7 members of the Ramal family were found flayed alive in their house, Muthana neighborhood. 2 sons could not be located despite a search of the neighborhood. I wonder if we can get a lead on somebody who might know where these 2 boys might be hiding, or were they kidnapped or taken, or
I would like to have try and find out how old they are.
Can I get a date with a year to start looking at this?
March 24th, 2016.
The family was found March 25th, but yeah.
That was the first reported.
Yep.
So I'm just trying to get a...
Complete blackouts in March 2016 were the 8th and the 9th. You said the 24th through the 26th?
24th through the 30th total.
Full moon on the 23rd or 24th. Can't quite tell.
So people started missing on the full moon. After the full moon?
You said 23rd was the full moon?
This is just kind of a jank hippie website called Stardate. So
I like to imagine that Spencer is trying to like figure out tarot cards at this point, because like if you go to a legitimate website, it'll say like, yeah, you know.
Oh no, it's Alexa, the 24th.
What phase of the moon was it on April 6, 2016?
From Thursday, March 31st to Wednesday, April 6th was a waning crescent moon.
There you go. Waning crescent.
Outside the parameters of the timetable.
Oh, that's right now. You guys are seeing a waning crescent right now. Yeah. You figure out your own timetable. I'm just saying that, like, anytime I've ever Googled phases of the moon, I've been able to find it. So, it, like, Spencer is staring at the screen like it is esoteric, like, gobbledygook.
No, I'd say that's the full moon. Yeah, the attacks began on the full moon.
Now, you are dating it properly, correct?
Right?
Yeah, looks right.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're in 2016 and not 2023.
No, it's in 2016.
It's a moon phase calendar.
Scroll down a little bit.
Alcanza Hospital.
Yeah, that by the 24th, I think that would be a waxing crescent. It's just past full.
I think you might be onto something with the age, because looking at the males that have been taken, I mean, there is one incident where it says the eldest son was missing, but it's always been
boys,
the sons, and fighters have been flayed.
I would be interested to know if the two boys that were missing.
There's more than two.
That specific instance.
The Ramal family.
If they're twins.
So the Ramal two sons were taken. And then what was the other family?
Delta Green likes firstborn.
The Hollem family was found skinned in their home. One son was missing from the Hollem family.
I would like to know ages. Mm-hmm. In both ages that they are in, and in comparison to other family members.
And then the Nasser family, that's the family that had the eldest son taken.
I'd also like to point out that if you're interested in current events, in terms of timetables and things that are happening, you can reach out about that. It would take somebody to be paying attention to like news chatter and stuff.
My daughter was just born.
For example, if you're interested in that. But yes, if you're interested in that kind of stuff as well, you could task somebody to be paying attention to like, oh yeah, no, there's an attack today on blah, blah, blah. We haven't really talked about that yet, but there's a lot of information. You just have to suss out what's useful or not.
Yeah, we could infiltrate with Operation Conquest, because there are military advisors and stuff going into the city with that.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. Actual... like wartime timetables from the Let me take a leak and think for a minute.
Not that you would know obviously what the wartime timetables are, but
we can find out.
I definitely can provide you with a, you know, not a day by day calendar, but you know, if you have someone who's paying attention to that kind of stuff, an easy bureaucracy role, you can kind of find out what's happening, what's going on.
Yeah, I'll make that, because I just out of curiosity, because I would want to know how the operation's going.
The major would have a pretty good idea, wouldn't she?
Yeah. I would assume, or somebody she could call.
Right. You may, your information may not be up to date, but you could find out about things that have happened.
Bureaucracy. 50%. It is 14 under 50.
Oh, yeah. Are you looking for a particular time frame or time period? Most recent? Oldest? 2 or 3 days ago?
I would say, yeah, to current to the past 2 or 3 days.
Sure. Today's the 6th. Let's see. So you spend some time hanging out, paying attention to CNN, talking to some of the folks on the base. Starting in April, it seems like Operation Conquest is moving along, so you're getting more residents of Mosul trying to flee the city. So they're talking a lot about refugee management at this point, because people are just running from ISIL. So there is an influx more so than there have been in the last few weeks. It's becoming clear to the population of Mosul that this is happening. And if they're able to dodge ISIL checkpoints, they're trying to escape.
We get locations on these refugee camps?
I mean, everybody's fleeing south and east because, you know, obviously that's where everyone is. So I forget where you guys are actually at. Are you at Karak?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, they're clearly fleeing in that direction and heading farther south or east into the country because that's where it's safe. So, like, maybe not exactly where you're at, they're doing it, but definitely on the front lines, they're fleeing, getting to coalition forces, and then being pushed along to get out of the way.
I mean, if these refugees are in coalition territory being held, then there'd be easy to do some investigation there.
Yeah,
maybe really possibly track down some of these families.
There was heavy fighting in Al Nasser on April 2nd, which is south of Mosul in the Makhmur district. They were able to confirm 40 ISIL soldiers were killed, which is, I mean, a pretty impressive firefight. And then your role is good enough. 2 days ago, so on the 4th, coalition airstrikes destroy the ISIL-occupied Turkish consulate in Mosul with Turkish permission. ISIL-occupied Al Nasser still holds out against Iraqi forces, however. And then yesterday, an airstrike destroyed ISIL's training headquarters near the Mosul Grand Mosque, killing approximately 50 soldiers.
They're getting peppered.
Just like you do before you head for a massive land invasion. Yeah,
tenderizing the meat.
And again, I cannot, I go back to the opening lines of They Have to Die Now, which is the book that I was listening to before we started, Iconoclast. And they talk about the snipers shooting from buildings where they could tell with the, is it FLIR, in the infrared that they were doing? They were literally forcing the residents of Mosul to line up on the insides of the walls to be physical shields for heavy arms fire. So we're approaching that point in actual history where they're rolling up for the land war and these snipers are hiding with like duct taped hostages against walls and shit so that you just don't bombard the building. So like it's a fucking nightmare, and it's just now becoming obvious how much of a nightmare this will be.
So you missed, we learned that there's a lot of refugees coming out of Mosul right now. So some of them might be in coalition forces where we have access to them for questioning. And then Mosul itself is just being peppered at this point with airstrikes and stuff.
You guys are aren't you on an air base?
Yes.
So like
Kirkuk.
Kirkuk wouldn't necessarily be, you know, taking in refugees because it is a military installation, but you could venture out if somebody, you know, wants to make a couple rolls, make a couple of, you know, sort of associations, couple of calls, wouldn't be that hard. Any issues with moving to the 7th, or is there something more that you folks would like to do, something you'd like to start?
Did we find out if we need Hastings doing anything besides training? Do we want to try and make a Baghdad run?
Bombs over Baghdad.
The only thing that I can think of for Hastings is there any way that we can research any of the stuff that we have learned from Sloan?
Such as?
Such as the terms Father of War... Throne of Blood. Is that something that we can research, or is that something we have to wait until we get into Rassam's to research?
I think that all came from the Winds of Adab, didn't it? Or whatever that was.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you are... Sloan threw out a lot of phrases, and you're not sure where he threw them out from.
Right. That's why I'm asking.
It would be a challenging search for you to just sort of pull that out of your ass. It's not impossible. I'd let you make the roll, but I'm going to make it more difficult than normal. Uh-huh. You either need to find the connecting thread, have Sloan tell you the connecting thread, or spend an inordinate amount of time.
Right.
So it's not like quickly tapping in Father of War into Google. You get a bad translation of what's his name? Fuck. It was a good joke until I lost it. Never mind. Carry on. And what's his name? Oh, God. I'm so bad at actors. It's a good movie, though.
Can you give us... Oh, The Lord of War?
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. You get shitty...
I was like, can you give us a reference? And I could probably give you what you're looking for.
Yeah. You get Father of War, you get shitty Nicolas Cage translated dubs.
Okay. The other thing that I wondered if she could research is how we actually use that elder sign.
Ooh, how would you like to go about that?
That's what I'm not sure what skills I would need.
Oh, you wanted to experiment with the creepy voodoo cap?
I want to figure out how it was made and how it was used so that when we get to a point where we need to use it.
How did we describe it last time? Science that we didn't, what was it? Metascience?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hypergeometry.
Hypergeometry.
Yeah, that's what the program calls it. It's hypergeometry.
Yeah.
Metaphysics. String theory. Which point Sloan said something about its fucking magic.
Yes. So is there any way that we can research what we're supposed to do with this thing so that we know what to do with it?
What level of Metachlorians do we need to be able to use this?
Yeah.
Let's go catch some critters in the desert and throw
them at it. Is this an occult role? Is this an unnatural role?
Hastings is not recognized in the role of Grandmaster. let me stand. Please stand by. Talk. About
but she. Ha, but she has a seat on the council.
I'm gonna stand here and hold it out like this. Why don't you throw a womp rat in front of me and let's see?
I think I got this, guys. Quick, shoot a bullet at me.
I mean, we're walking around with it in a case like it's a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Well, it does make you feel funny. So
right. And if we're supposed to use this once we find the big bad, I think we should figure out how to use it.
You think that because it makes us feel funny, if we walk towards Mosul like it's a shield and all the snipers that look at it through their scope gets magnified feel funny?
Do you like want to try?
I don't know. That sounds like something you'd try.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that Sloan's statement, and I quote, was it makes a piss poor flak jacket.
Yeah.
We were talking about setting a trap at one point in time. I wonder if this thing would know about this cap's presence. If we
it's a good question.
Enough.
I guess it just depends on how high its metachlorian count is.
Yeah. I mean, it obviously would have a negative reaction to it, I would think.
Jeff, what's Hastings' occult?
80.
So like walking the flames of Gondor through the desert?
And her unnatural is 10. Thing.
If she uses, if you roll a natural and don't do anything basically for a day, I'll say you do a basic Google search and just kind of pore over things.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all over Google.
100%.
Hypergeometry.
No, not unnatural. I got a cult.
Yeah, no, I was more worried about a cult.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to do that for the rest of the day.
Yep.
Cody, can I have some booze?
You did pay for it.
Yes.
There are nice glasses in the other room. If others want some, they can. I don't have anything to mix with it, but
I wouldn't turn some down.
I got you.
Thank you. What?
I've never heard you once recommend drinking booze.
That's not true.
Yeah.
I've never once heard you recommend drinking
scotch.
Dark colored booze.
Yeah. Normally it's vodka, but.
Oh, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
If you want an instant win at this table, Daniel, just so you know, I think Spencer already knows this. Stoli.
Yeah.
Straight $20 Stoli.
It's good to know.
So good.
It's become my Christmas tradition to bring a half-drank bottle of Stoli to my parents' house. Nobody else drinks it, but I just sit and sip shots of Stoli.
Clancy, the same writer of this, we did a game where we did
it's Cold Dead Hand set in Siberia.
You would actually like it. Jeff has to work on a nuclear weapon and rolls 100. If you
oh,
like
that's where that came from.
Yeah. Nice. But I actually tweeted Clancy, who wrote this, and a few others about how we were playing, and I had the bottle of Stoli and stuff, and they said, no, it wasn't Clancy. It was, the other guy's name who's on that other book. I can never remember his name. Tynes. John Scott Tynes. He says, drink like a Russian. Take the cap off and throw it away. You'll never need it again. So we basically got smashed and played a game set in late 80s, you know, communist Russia. And it was awesome.
Nice.
And we
it was
got,
a very fun game.
And we got fucking smashed on a bottle of Stoli. Not smash, but pretty good. So
I mean, a fifth between five guys in a 4-hour session
or less. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so Hastings Googles the Elder Sign is my notes.
And that's on the 7th?
Yeah, 6th. You get information on the 7th. Anything else or can we move to the 7th?
You think I can check social media for information about the families associated with the missing kids?
The ones that are still alive.
You don't have a lot of detail.
Yeah, we got the names of families.
We got the family name. That's about it.
True.
Yeah, we don't even know if it was all the sons
and
or
the ones that survived, except for a few that were sent to the hospital, were taken. So the rest are massacred.
Yeah.
Skinned alive.
Yeah, because at some point I got to move you guys along. So I'm going to move us on to the 7th. Shit, just closed my timeline. Not ideal. Okay, we're on to April 7th. Thoughts on anything anybody wants to do today? Some roles they want to roll? Some people they want to talk to? I'll give Hastings her information in a bit.
Yep.
Do we have a timeline on when we're going to have information back from the Kurds? That conversation?
No, it was very much a sitting around the bar having a couple of drinks. Hey, yeah, no, we'll get in touch with you, sure. Maybe you'll hear something, maybe you won't.
Oh.
Like, nothing is secured yet. In this game, you're going to kind of like, it's kind of like making a request at corporate. You're going to send a thing out. The motherfucker's not going to read it for 3 days. Then you're going to remind them, and then they're going to read it that day and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't read it before. Yeah, give me another week to figure it. It's that kind of shit. So,
what's Captain Dan's military science?
Land 60%.
60.
I think he has the highest.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
What are you wanting to know?
I'm wanting to know if we can't get a firm commitment from the Peshmerga, can we start going through the U.S. military?
He could make some inquiries, yeah. I mean,
he would have knowledge of whether or not he'd be able to do that to begin with. Is that what the military science role would be?
I don't know.
I guess, describe to me more what you're thinking, Jeff.
I'm wanting to know if we can put together a strike team from the U.S. military and get assets from them.
Are you wanting to put it together quietly, like off this base? Are you looking to contact your handler?
No, off of this base. Do we have access to resources like that on this base?
You don't have direct access. You'd have to make contacts. So, I mean, you could go hang out at the bar and try and find somebody if that's what you want to do. Who are we talking about? Captain
Dan. Do we want to try and do it like back channel, or do we want to go through actual channels? I mean, we're here on mission.
I think it's back channel from here on out.
Okay.
I mean, you also have to at least with Captain Dan's background is Special Forces, Delta Force. Like, Captain Dan would have contacts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he could ask a couple of questions. If you want to try and recruit...
He might even have private contacts at this point, depending on who those contacts
but
are.
That's kind of what you want to do. Is that the route you want to go, or...
Yeah, we got...
Are we looking...
112 grand, so if we're going to do... Minus what we've spent already.
Yeah. Like, are we looking to try and do something like with Blackwater?
I mean, there's always contract for hire, so...
I'm just looking for options.
I'm interested to find out how his conversation went with the Kurds and see if we can make an in on the Saish, the security force for the Kurdish regional government. It says that they have a lot of human intelligence in and around Mosul, but they're lacking in budget and military power, which means we have leverage.
Yep. Money.
So
there's also a question of who makes that contact too. So,
right. Cause he spent the day talking with him while we went to Rassam.
Correct. So. Yeah.
What he was talking about. Not getting anything back. The whole corporate bullshit.
Like, at this point, you don't have an answer back from the Peshmerga, but if you want to reach out to other groups, you can,
but we could, I like your point about our leverage being cash.
Yeah.
Maybe we could speed up that conversation with some money.
You could. Good.
I mean, is his conversation with the Peshmerga something that we need to do something to push that along, or...
Landry feels good about it. Landry felt like he had a good conversation. I mean, Landry can always go back and talk to the guy some more, but he feels like, you know, ultimately, I could be wrong. I may be rewriting history here, but Landry wanted to get an introduction. They said, you know, he feels good about it. They said, yeah, we'll talk to somebody. Now, whether or not they follow up on that, you don't yet know, but Landry would have felt good about the conversation.
Right. So how do we start pushing things along to actually get things happening?
How much time has passed since he started that conversation? Are we talking about...
Landry talked to the Kurds...
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, is this something aren't even located on this base.
Right.
So.
I mean, is this something that's still cooking, or...
You could assume it's still cooking.
Okay. Like, it takes me a week to train. Does it take a week for this to happen?
It could, yeah.
Okay.
Now, like I said, that doesn't hurt. If you would go back and offer the guys $50,000, you know, that might make things cook a little faster. But
right,
you only have so much money, so is that where you want to spend your money?
We haven't spent like any money yet, right? Well,
don't have infinite resources either.
Right.
You have 120 grand or something like that.
112, yeah.
Okay.
So do we... Okay. I don't even know if this is a thing that we can do, but do we need to look into making more?
I mean, I'm sure the CIA is not the only ones wanting some of these people dead. There's a reason contractors make money in wartime.
Mm-hmm. Lockheed Martin.
Yep.
Lizard people.
I think that's my line.
I'm struggling with Kasim. Kasim doesn't have really much in terms of his skills. He's just smart as hell. Like, he has an int roll of 90%. Like, that's pretty insane, right?
Yes.
He knows his shit.
But that's the thing. He doesn't know shit. He knows he's intelligent, but he doesn't have many skills. So I'm struggling to figure out how to utilize him. He knows a lot of different languages, but Latin and Greek aren't going to help us much
here. He's got an occult roll of 60. Yeah, so he's literally you.
Yeah, that's fair.
So what would you do besides run us all in and get killed?
Great question.
Yeah, no,
we tried to work with him. We tried to work the academia
the
angle.
The Cambridge angle.
It didn't. It kind of fell flat.
A day trip to Baghdad.
He could go to Baghdad.
Like, you know, one of you could fly back and talk to Sloan. Like, not all of you have to go. Like Jeff said, you can go spend 7 days on the gun range. That's what you guys really need to think about this as a chess match. Like, where do you want to put your pieces?
Yeah, I like the...
I think sending the academia to Baghdad.
Yep.
I think working the Kurdish angle still. Possibly with a little money incentive.
We send an academic and we keep one on site.
Well, we do. Yeah. We have one training.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have one that's researching the Elder Sign.
The Elder Sign.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't commit her to a week of training yet.
No.
Mary and Jennifer are free. Mary could fly back and talk to Sloan.
Staff Sergeant Jamie, he doesn't have any particularly high skills. He has good athletics.
He's a medic.
Yeah.
He can throw a hand grenade like a motherfucker.
Yes, he can. So should we have him train up in something?
Increase the kill radius.
I will say that I think I pull apart this book more than I should, but I do think it's useful because not all of us are as educated on politics or perhaps as tinfoil hat wearing as Adam Scott Glancy. There are specific things it recommends to train on. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I'll tell you what those are.
Yes, please.
And that might be something that he could be doing.
Yes.
Give us a peek behind the curtain, Cody, please. Just a peek.
Just because we're really bad at this. I mean, anybody listening to this, I appreciate you. I'm glad you enjoy it, but I don't think we're good at it. But, I mean, we have fun sometimes.
Yeah, we need actual military people to play this with us, to tell us what we're doing wrong.
Shoot for center mass.
Too much planning.
We know if you talk to Marines. Actual military people, this,
No.
Don't eat crayons.
It was recorded. I don't know if it still exists, but I did play this with one person who is at least in the military, and he proceeded to correct me on like about 7 things as we went through something that I wrote about how I didn't understand the military. So I think it would be fairly annoying, but also enlightening.
Well, if we're talking JSOC, the way you do this is you make money by dealing drugs. So,
I mean,
like literally
opium.
Opium, yep.
Wrong country.
Yeah, that's Afghanistan.
They still like
do a little bad to do a lot of good. Is that the way it goes?
I was gonna say it's shitty, but it's not a horrible idea if we need to make cash.
We're not being drug dealers. In a war-torn zone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we did in Afghanistan. So.
Let's just go pilfer the refugee camps. They don't need those.
We weren't dealing in Afghanistan. We were exported.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, exporting. Come on. We're higher up the food chain. Come on, man.
We were protecting crops, dude. Come on.
Vital to their economy. No, it's not corn.
Maize.
Specifically, it suggests training for Mosul. It's got craft, criminology, disguise, foreign language, Arabic, human, navigate, or persuade, which makes a lot of sense because you could contact people for a lot of those things and train on the base. I would argue firearms is something you could train on. I don't know that they would be training firearms at an active military base per se in a war zone, but I would allow it. In the Theater of the Mind, okay. I think that that's fair. But if you're looking for things that are actually written in the book, those are the skills that it recommends.
Okay. Does it have anything particular under craft, or does it just say IED?
It just says craft any. Like, the idea that you could utilize craft to make you know, you don't know where this game is necessarily going to go.
But an amplifier for the friggin' hypergeometry.
Exactly. 100%.
I can already do that.
We've seen this shit go back in time before.
Great. Yep. So now the voodoo cap is getting an antenna.
Yes. Precisely.
I mean, I've got a 50% in craft microelectronics. You just let me know.
So, April 7th, are we sending somebody to Baghdad? Are we sending somebody to Sloan? Like,
we are sending CIA intelligence analyst Kasim al-Mahla.
Should we ever send somebody alone anywhere?
Well, I mean, depending on what's happening.
Yeah, sending him to a university, I don't feel bad about sending him alone.
No, and I bet there's traffic already, military
Correct.
Traffic.
My thought is that you're probably going to hitch a ride. Yeah. You probably won't get there till tomorrow. It'll be late tomorrow afternoon when you're able to talk to somebody. If you want to research, it's going to be a few days. You know, you may not be back for 6-7 days a week, depending on what you decide to do.
Okay, that's fine.
So we're sending Kasim to Baghdad. Is anybody going with him?
No.
No.
He's one of the academics, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
His numbers aren't fantastic, but he's got a 60 in history and a.
But if he does make contact with somebody talking,
what's his language? What's his bureaucracy role?
Great question.
Alphabetic B.
40.
Okay. Do we have anybody who's not currently being used that it might make sense to send an academic along military lines?
Jennifer's not being used. She has a persuasive 70.
That could be helpful.
So I thought about taking her with Mary to Sloan, but
I think she also has a pretty good bureaucracy.
And
60.
And they're both CIA. So
maybe it's not a bad idea to send somebody else who's got a little bit better understanding of how things work.
You also haven't established your covers, so that might be useful as well.
Establishing covers.
You all have two fake covers that I keep telling you need to establish what they actually are.
Yeah.
So for example, if you're going academic and you're going academic, fine, but both write academic as a cover on it so we know that you've burned one as an academic and you've burned one as an academic. Then that way you show up at University of Baghdad, you have fucking papers that you're an academic. But you can't also work for Lockheed Martin and also work for Greenpeace and also, you know what I mean? So if you want
to we're supposed to make one that is like state department, right?
That's what it suggested. Again, I being my game, I'm gonna run it whatever the fuck I want, so I'm gonna let you do whatever two you want.
The suggestion is one that's obviously spy and the other one that's not.
Correct.
And State Department is obviously spy.
Yes,
one would presume. Yes. Diplomatic immunity.
It's just been revoked.
Oh shit, you old for this shit.
Wrong 80s action star.
No, that was the right one.
And people in that movie thought he was sane.
Lawyered. Sorry.
The right one.
Mel Gibson's.
No, I was talking about Danny Glover.
I know.
No.
But he was definitely batshit insane at that point.
No, it was just the character.
Oh, no. He can't act his way out of a goddamn paper bag. Give me back my son! Not Lethal Weapon, but also one of my favorite lines in an action film, which is a tinfoil hat wearing, gravy for the brain. Anybody? No? Anybody? Sandra Bullock, Patrick Stewart, Mel Gibson, conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Gravy for the brain!
I have not seen that in a long time.
Patrick Stewart plays a creepy silent protagonist. Very good. If you've never seen it, Spencer, what I remember of it from being a teenager, very good.
All right. Do I trust teenage
Cody?
Yeah,
he was amazing at anything he stepped out into. I wish he did it more.
He's just adult.
Like, I loved him in Star Trek, but I think it absorbed so much of his career that...
95% sure that was Sandra Bullock.
I thought it was Julia Roberts.
Might have been Julia Roberts. One of the two, for sure.
Yeah.
Both 90s heartthrobs. You might be right. Maybe it was Julia Roberts.
Now I'm questioning.
But I don't think I've seen it since it came out. But that line impressed me so much because Spencer, Patrick Stewart, literally plays Delta Green in that.
It is Julia Roberts.
Oh, nice.
Like, he steps around the corner and wants to inject. All I remember is that he wants to inject Mel Gibson because Mel Gibson is a journalist, like a pseudo-journalist, like writing an early blog on the internet or something about how, like, who killed JFK and shit. It's, like, really, really cool. But he apparently hits on something. So Patrick Stewart, a la Delta Green, straps him down and tries to inject him with something. He begins to scream, gravy for the brain, gravy for the brain, and throws himself down two flights of stairs while tied to a chair, as I recall.
Oh, well, he was actually a sleeper agent, wasn't he?
There's some sort of Manchurian Candidate aspect to it.
But Catcher, like, in the Rye.
Yeah. But I don't fucking remember. I just remember.
It has been a long fucking time since I've seen that movie.
But you got to think, Spencer, when that movie came out, did you see when the movie came out? 2001, 2002?
I didn't look.
20 plus years, Spencer, I have remembered him screaming gravy for the brain as Patrick Stewart leans over him with a needle and he proceeds to throw himself down like three flights of stairs.
97.
Okay, even longer ago.
We'll sounds see. Like a mixture of MK Ultra and fucking Naked yeah. Gun.
It is.
Yeah. It is. That's amazing. Yeah.
I must say, two movies that I love that are conspiracy theory based. Conspiracy theory. An Enemy of the State. I see those movies state. Very similar. Yeah. If you like Enemy of the State,
one
like
has it. Much better actors than the other.
Yes.
I don't know which one is which, though. One has Patrick Stewart. The other one has Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
You have what they want. I don't know what they want.
Although awesome use of a foil lined chip bag blocking cellular signal in that movie.
It is. Yeah. I just remember him standing on the roof, like wearing some weird sunglasses or something. You have what they want.
It's in the train station.
No, because he's upstairs blocking the signals by being mm-hmm. in front of all the satellite dishes.
It was still a rail yard where his place was.
Right. But when they first met, it was on top of the building.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Why are they following me? Will Smith screams. You have what they want. Awesome.
Yeah. I watched that not long ago, actually.
I might watch it tonight when I get home.
You want to know shit that has inspired my Delta Green? Conspiracy theory, an Enemy of the State. Every time you meet Clancy, cigarette smoking man, fucking Gene Hackman, and goddamn Patrick Stewart all rolled into one.
You know, there was another Patrick Stewart movie where he was a conspiracy nut. And it was actually very good. I cannot remember the name of it, though.
Just as long as you don't bring up Life Force again. It's a touchy subject.
I never brought up Life Force.
Good. We're never bringing it up again.
You keep bringing it up.
Because I'm still mad at Craig 3 years later. Still mad. Somebody put it in the best of occult films the other day on a list, and I just got irrationally mad at Craig.
I don't know the story, but if it upsets you that much, don't tell it.
Craig recommends shitty movies.
He's not going to not tell us. You know this, right? We're not going to get through this night without hearing about it.
Craig recommends shitty movies, and he told me it was going to be a good movie with Patrick Stewart. Long story short, it was not good, but I got really hyped for it, and that's the problem. Like, Craig's the kind of person that's like, this is art, and then he'll, like, you know, Will Smith gesture at a pile of shit and be like, do you get it? And I'm just like, fuck you and the horse you rode in on, you piece of shit.
Well, Eye of the Beholder and all that.
Late 80s sci-fi movie, Patrick Stewart, fucking written by the same guy who wrote Alien. I'm like, this is great, and it's just dog shit the whole way through. And I'm like, before I got halfway through, I'm like, I don't want to finish it, but I'm going to write everything I hate about this movie down. So the next time I see Craig, I can burn him to the stake at it.
Safe House.
I don't know that one.
It's a 98 film with Patrick Stewart in it.
Gotta get that one.
Yeah.
What was the crappy one called?
Life Force.
You'll love it.
Everyone likes it, but Cody.
No. I derailed 45 minutes of Dungeons and Dragons because I was so mad at Craig about it. Like, I just would not let it go.
And we're about 10 minutes into Iconoclasts.
Space vampires is what it's about.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. I know this movie.
Yeah, that's two genres that should never be mixed.
Space vampires, a little bit of Species.
Yeah. This was like, I remember watching this on Sci-Fi one time, like when I was, I don't know.
But Craig was like, oh my God, it's got Patrick Stewart in it. It's written by the same guy who wrote Alien. It's so good. And I'm just like sitting here going like, God damn it. Like, I just like... Like, I wish he was in the room because I would literally beat the shit out of him.
Does it have, like, a decent amount of boobs in it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly what fucking movie this is.
At least it's got some saving grace, though.
No, it doesn't.
They're all in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because they, like, they go to the spaceship, and then they get, like, fucking taken over by aliens, like, in Species, and then they go down, and they're, like, looking at the woman while she's being autopsied, so she's naked there, and she's naked in the space thing, but she's, like, sucking their life force, and it's just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they seem like dead bodies, and all of a sudden they sit up in the autopsy room.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember
fucking,
this bullshit.
Fucking, like, turn them to ash, and it's like...
It's horrible.
It is.
It's fucking horrible. Fuck you, quote, Craig, for making Grady tell the story for me to remember ever watching this movie.
Quote, its style is shrill and fragmented enough to turn life force into hysterical vampire porn.
Little backstory, this guy had terabytes of porn before any of us really cared about porn. Like, stockpiled porn.
It is.
As an addict.
Yeah, no,
in college, not. Before the age of 21.
Wow.
I mean, I get it. Like, fair.
Sure.
Who are you talking about?
Craig.
Oh, you were motioning at Spencer. I wasn't sure.
I'm talking about the Uniballer.
No, Craig has a way of like just hyping up a movie. And I was like, oh my God, like Craig and I both like these weird, bizarre films. And like, okay. And I sit down and just start watching it. And I just started hating him more with every minute that went by. And then Patrick Stewart shows up, and Patrick Stewart has the most batshit interaction that makes no sense. He's in about 8.5 minutes of screen time, if not less. And I'm just like...
He showed up on set and said, what do you want me to read? What is this shit? Oh, here's my check.
Okay.
That's should put a disclaimer before this episode that just says, fuck you, Craig, if you're listening.
I love him to death, but I would strangle him over Life Force. So yeah, no.
Oh, man. There you really go.
Three films to add to your film watching, Spencer. Life Force, Conspiracy Theory, Enemy of the State.
To get back from this god-awful tangent, I gotta go pee. Once you get back, why don't we sit down and actually make... cover stories for each one of our characters before we progress any further.
Are you sending...
We're sending Kasim and...
to Baghdad.
And
he's going to be written down as an academic, so write him down as an academic.
I would do Jennifer as well. I think that he shouldn't go alone. That is my opinion. You guys can override it if you want.
How much do we need to flesh out these covers?
I will allow some pretty strong flexibility. So, okay. I mean, if you just want to be very academic, you know... nuclear scientist,
State Department working on infrastructure.
Right. Yeah. I want a little bit to go off of.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to write State Department and then use it as carte blanche for bullshit.
Right.
And like I said, as it goes farther, now say Spencer, you know, says, oh, I'm from Harvard. I'll let it roll. But then write down Harvard because you can't turn around and say, you know, I'm from Cambridge 2 days later.
Right.
So sort of, I guess we could say Trail of Cthulhu rules.
Could we do that, but then roll like a fast? I know this doesn't have fast talk, but could we kind of try to bullshit?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's just the thought is these covers are established enough for you to have paperwork and credentials for. Yeah. So for them to come up,
they're pretty ironclad.
I wouldn't say ironclad, but enough that like as long as you don't do anything fucking weird, nobody's going to ask anything.
Yeah. Okay.
If you show up with academic papers to the University of Baghdad and say, "Hey, I'm here from Harvard University of Anthropology looking into this," nobody's going to bat an eye. Now you try and take a bunch of fucking stone tablets out of there, you know, then they're going to notice, you know. You start casting a fucking spell from the Nicotic manuscripts, they might notice, but...
One thought I just had is, do we have some way to actively keep our ear to the ground, just kind of generally looking for more attacks as they occur?
Yes. Go ahead. Please continue.
No, that's it. Yeah.
So the two things that I would say there, I can keep you up to date on quote unquote current events if you assign somebody to do that, to keep an eye on that kind of stuff.
We need to do that.
You also have Irene, who knows, was she CIA? Mm-hmm. She knows that you're looking into shit. So it's kind of quid pro quo. So if you keep working with her, she's going to keep working with you. So ostensibly, she knows what you're looking for. Now, whether or not she'll reciprocate before you get her a dead body.
Because she's the one... She's the assistant deputy director who wants us to give her.
She knows what you're looking for. So if she comes across something, she could be a potential contact.
I just think at the very least, we need to be scanning social media and news sources.
That's kind of what Alvarini's been trying to do.
Okay. But if you're going to do that, you need to just dedicate somebody to do it all the time.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Which you could do.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's not piloting the drone, I think that's something he could be doing.
For the two of you who may or may not be familiar with Trail of Cthulhu, I both recommend you read it. I'm not clever enough to understand the way that they do rules, but I like the way that... what company is that? They're out of Chicago. Pelgrane Press. If you are interested, you should look up Pelgrane Press. I'm a big fan of both Trail of Cthulhu and Night's Black Agents. They're written by really, really smart people. One of the things I like about them is that they take the Call of Cthulhu rule set, which Delta Green is based on, and they look for flaws and try and find improvements. One of the things that I really like is you never can't get the clue, which I think is a great rule. They have rules, so you always get the clue. Any role gives you additional. So they structure their games about getting additional clues. The other thing that they do that I really like is they don't force you to pigeonhole your skill set. So a lot of times we'll play Trail of Cthulhu language roles. So you assign yourself a language in Trail of Cthulhu, but until you don't have to pick what language it is. So if suddenly you come across, say, Italian, you have that point to choose Italian. If you choose Italian, that's now the language you know.
Or pass for the next.
Or pass and choose the next one. So I love those roles because they give you some flexibility in terms of adapting to the scenario. So basically, Daniel, what I was trying to explain, and Spencer was kind of down here for this, for your covers, I'm going to treat them as fairly flexible. So if Jennifer and Kasim go to Baghdad and you want academic covers, I'll allow that. Now, if you want to say you're from, say, Harvard archaeology, then you just need to write down at that point Harvard archaeology. At that point, you're pigeonholed because that's your cover.
Yeah.
But if you leave it open, it could be more amorphous. You could be sociology, you could be anthropology, you could be whatever you want. So I think that in general, I want you to write down covers that are what you want, but they can be very general. It needs to be more than State Department, but it doesn't have to be more than infrastructure.
So kind of along those lines, like for Al Rabini, could it be something like he's a communications engineer? And sure, depending on what that what it is he's looking at, he's been contracted by so-and-so, which could adjust.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's you could say communications engineer is one of his covers. Now, the second you use that and have to use it, you basically get a freebie, but you write that shit down. And from now on, he's a communications engineer from
wherever.
Right. The largest cell phone provider in Europe. Yeah. At that point, he doesn't know fuck all about internet. He's a cell phone provider from Europe. You know what I mean?
Got you.
So you can be very general, but I think it's a good idea to establish your general covers. So if Kasim and Jennifer want to go to Baghdad and have academic covers, they both have academic covers. I'm good with just letting that roll.
I'm good with rolling with that.
So I'm going to go ahead and put communications engineer down for this guy.
That's
who's
fine with me.
Good with microelectronics.
I want Mary to be something of... my initial plans for her were to infiltrate the hospital, but possibly these refugee camps. So something, a cover along the lines of...
Could be humanitarian.
Humanitarian relief, something like that. Yeah.
And just like that, you can just say humanitarian aid. And then say, for example, you run into a Red Cross. You know, you can say, oh, she's Red Cross. That might get you the first step into the Red Cross organization.
Yeah. Cool.
Doctors Without Borders.
There we go.
So for Hastings, I put down State Department with a focus on translation.
Okay. Interpreter. I think that's a good idea. Interpreter is a good way to go.
And archaeology and anthropology curator for a museum.
I think that that's fair too.
Okay.
Yep. Those are both, I think, fair covers. And like I said, that's the thing is that if you introduce yourself to whatever, say you go to London, say you go to Italy, say you go to France, Germany, whatever, maybe you have an initial contact and that gets you in. You know what I mean? I would be willing to do that.
So what should my second one be for Al Rabini, the crypto analyst?
What was his first one?
Communications engineer, which would be more of a...
So that's a contractor.
Yeah, kind of like a legitimate. It's less like spy.
You also don't actually have to embody it either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You could be a fucking aerospace engineer for Lockheed Martin if you wanted to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter fuck all that you can't say it. You could just be like, oh yeah, I need to be on the base because I'm an aerospace engineer. Here's my pass.
Should totally be like Captain Dan as the aerospace engineer. Why are you carrying around M16? For space engineering.
Yeah.
To shoot down the planes. It's possible in Axis and Allies. You just got to roll real well.
You really do. Come on, ones. Air super fortresses. You only hit on ones.
Fuck. You could do for your for the State Department one, you could do like a focus on infrastructure and telecommunications.
Yeah.
You good with Kasim and Jennifer going to Baghdad?
Yep. Okay. Sure am.
I will go ahead and put cover as archaeology.
I'll have my cover be history.
Would it be ridiculous to have like some of our military guys to be like legitimate just bodyguards?
Security specialists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do some like Blackwater type stuff, bureaucracy
for that particular person?
Sure.
I don't want to make that roll.
Well, but I mean, they could be
that was
they could
be my
private security for the other guys who are there.
Yeah, that was going to be 100%. That my I'm a spy cover is basically security specialist.
The thing that I would say in terms of Blackwater and other private contractors, it's probably harder to pull off those organizational covers within that organization. So that's the only thing that I would say.
Gotcha.
With Blackwater, it's probably really hard to prove that you're Blackwater. But if you want to say, hey, I'm Blackwater.
In private security.
Right. Yeah.
Just that's remember, they don't do anything.
It's a fairly small corporation compared to the military.
Correct. And they probably keep fairly close tabs on their units.
Correct.
So infiltrating probably not going to happen and is going to be a major red flag. You want to toss that idea around, you're good as long as no Blackwater guys show up. That ain't the way to have fun, son. That ain't the way to have fun, son. Our title track, Mama Told Me Not to Come, composed by friend of the podcast Ian Shannon, with additional vocals by Lucas Patterson and Cody Grady. You can find more of Ian's work at sleepfortheweary.com. Like what you heard? Check out more episodes online at rancorsbrothel.com, YouTube, or anywhere you can download podcasts. Enjoy talking nerdy? Follow the podcast with other listeners on the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody. What it is, I don't wanna see no more.